Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We do a podcast. Myself and Slim Shady. Is he singing with the mic off? His name is Al. What's up, dude?
I'm Slim Shady, the real Slim Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Well done.
Thank you, Jerry. Let me see here, Jerry. We talked briefly a couple different times about this Zimbabwe UFO that this UFO landed in Zimbabwe in 1994 at a school in a very remote section. We found out that there's a fellow named Zah who works over at Barstool. He was one of the school children where he was in Zimbabwe at the time. He was 4 years old at the time. I had reached out to Zah asking, did you discuss this in depth on any podcast? And he sent me a link to a podcast from April 20th of this year, the Tross podcast.
The Tross?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a Barstool podcast.
Right.
I'm not aware of them, so I was not familiar with the podcast. I did listen to it this morning on my ride in, and I must say I was disappointed.
Okay. In what way?
They did not go in depth. As you have a man sitting there that as a 4 year old saw a UFO land at a school that had all of these people that saw it. And they talked briefly to him, then they moved on to something else.
Not that interested.
Yeah, they didn't seem all that interested.
I don't think people believe it.
I think they did believe him because they know him. And in fact, they said, you know, for those who are not sure if they're believers or not, we know him to be telling. We know him as a person.
So I'll come back to what I said to you yesterday.
Yeah.
So we have quote-unquote evidence that there are aliens that landed on this earth.
Right.
That had the attention of a group of kids.
Yes.
There was a real spaceship that landed on this earth.
Right.
And this is not the front page of every major newspaper in this country.
Right. So if this...
Not many people believe it.
What's so weird is if this happened in 1994... This podcast where they talk to this guy, and Zah's been working there for quite a while. They did this podcast on April 20th. I just looked. There's a podcast I listen to sometimes called Supernatural with Ashley Flowers.
Okay.
The episode that came out today is all about this incident. I don't know why all of a sudden there's interest in it.
Isn't it because, as you said, he just got hired?
No, he's been there a while.
Oh, he's been there a while.
He wasn't just hired.
Oh.
A couple things, though, why I didn't like the Tross podcast on Barstool. One, there's way too many people on it. Everyone's talking. Two, only one of them is in a studio with a microphone. The other four are on these fugazi lines that you could bear. It's such.
Oh, really? Tough, huh?
But I don't know if I get very distracted by bad audio. And I don't know if younger people do or if, you know, growing up on radio and everything we grew up on was professionally done.
And now it's not.
And now it's not. I don't know that people care.
Now it's
I
not.
I care.
I can tell you, I'll tell you this, and this probably might answer your question. My kids, well, my younger guy now, watches a lot of these YouTube videos and TikTok videos. The audio quality's awful.
He doesn't care.
Doesn't flinch.
Right.
Does not flinch.
I think it's an old guy thing for me.
It probably is. You're used to what you're used to.
Yeah, but when I'm very interested in something and it's a podcast or covered in a podcast and I turn it on and the audio is not great, it has to be so compelling.
Yeah.
Like I sat through it because this guy as a 4-year-old was at the Zimbabwe school and I struggled through it to listen to it. But a couple things that he did say about it. He was only 4 at the time.
Right.
He says because he was only 4 at the time, he feels like he remembers telling the story more than the incident now. He says he does remember the bright light. He remembers why you had asked why, like I told you that I said that the teachers were in a meeting.
Conference or something, you said.
They were in a meeting because during the recess, the kids... But he explained it that during recess that the smarter kids, they deemed those kids as responsible for the other kids during recess. And that they did go to alert the teachers. But again, it's a 4-year-old telling the teacher something. They're not paying attention.
Right.
And then eventually some teachers did come out and did see the thing as it was leaving. He also said, and I just Googled this as well, that there's a documentary on Netflix called The Phenomenon. That is about this. So I will go watch that. So I just felt like this guy should have a full podcast with good quality microphones. And someone like me needs to talk to him. Someone that's going to
ask. Well, he's got an open invitation.
Someone that's going to ask real questions.
See, I'd like to talk to him because I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of questions that I think will go unanswered.
Yeah. Right, and also, like I said, he was 4 at the time.
Right.
And he said he was not talked to by the news. They didn't talk to every kid. He said, but what they did with the drawings, you know, we've seen some of the drawings from the kids, and they all look the same. He said that they did isolate the children and talk to them and ask them to draw something. So the kids were not in the same room together drawing where they could be looking on the other kid's page. So it is very interesting. They brought it up on like Google Earth to see what the school looks like and how remote it is. He was even saying the way it is now that they built up a couple things around it, but it was mostly this just remote area where this school was.
Perfect place for a spaceship to land.
Yeah, but it is also interesting what he said, that he was 4 and that he recalls now the memory from the story he's telling. Versus what he can actually remember. I don't remember anything from when I was 4.
I don't either.
I don't know if it...
Very little.
Right, but would we remember stuff if, like, a huge incident happened for us at 4? I don't know.
I mean, I can tell you I remember I was probably around 4 when my friend's house burned down. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I just remember being in the street with everybody. That was like in horror watching it happen.
So you saw it on fire.
I remember, if you're asking me for details of it, no. But do I remember there being in the moment in the street with my, I do remember that. But there's not much else I remember from being 4 years old.
Yeah.
There's really not. And to be honest, I don't know what's a memory now and what is a memory because I've seen it in photographs.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Oh, for sure.
You know, is it something like, you know, I'll sit there and say anytime we'll pass our old house, oh, the tree I used to climb is gone. But then I think about it. I don't remember climbing the tree, but there's a picture my mom has always had of me in the tree. But I don't remember ever climbing a tree.
Right.
But I have that image. I don't know.
That's weird how our memories fade like that. Even Zah was saying on this podcast, he said, you know, when you're a little kid, especially at 4, you don't even know like
what's real and what's not.
Yeah, he said like I want it to happen to me now so I could really appreciate everything and what I know now seeing it.
Yeah.
So what would that be like?
But at the same time, you got guys like Joe Beningo that remember days with his dad as a child very vividly, just like he remembers games and stuff. And I do wonder, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about the hours we work yesterday because he's got an opportunity to move to a new job that's going to pay him more, but he's going to have to work more late night into early morning. Not quite overnight, but there will be some. And he was asking me about the lifestyle and everything. And I said, you know, as I sat there and thought about it, for the better part of the last 22 years, I believe 19 of them I have spent on the overnight or waking up between 2:30 and 3:30 in the morning. And I wonder what my mind would be like had we slept 8 hours a day like a normal person with normal hours for the last 22 years.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how much has deteriorated because of that. And I don't know. So I can't answer it.
And do you think if you retire at, say, 60, let's just say a little earlier, mm-hmm. right, that and then you go into a regular sleeping pattern?
I think what's gone is gone.
Yeah, you don't think it rejuvenates itself?
I hope it does. I don't see it, though. I mean, everything I read, I mean, I've certainly read a lot of things about it's false to think you can catch up on sleep on the weekend.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Because when you cut yourself short, you have cut that day short. That's it. And now you're starting from point X. And so every day that you don't sleep, I want to say it's a minimum of really like 7 hours, not really eight. It's like 7 hours. You're really hurting yourself. I don't remember the last time I've gotten 7 hours sleep Monday through Friday or Sunday through Thursday for us. Six, sure. But seven, not a chance. Last night was 4 hours and 15 minutes.
I think that's why people have kids when they're younger, because they feel like they could go without. Like, if I had a baby right now, forget it. Like, when would I be going to sleep?
Well, it's that, and it's also the fact that usually when you're younger, you're married to a younger woman, and it's a lot easier to have
easier
the child.
To have babies.
Yeah, because I think
sperm would be more willing to be sperm.
It'll work better. I think too, you're probably better off having a kid in your 30s than you are in your 20s. I think you're more mature, you're more ready for it, and you've done more in your life.
Yes.
But it is easier to have kids in your 20s. I'm not saying 20, but 26, 27, 28. You got more energy. You got more oomph coming out of there.
Right.
And it's easier probably for the woman, too, I would think.
How old is Sal?
Sal is 41, I believe.
Wow.
I believe. Yes.
That's good timing, I think, for him.
Well, it better happen now. So otherwise, he'll be looking at 45 real soon. And
right.
It gets difficult. I mean, I can tell you. You know, it's hard for me to say I haven't spent as much time with my younger son as my older son because I've coached him in travel baseball and I spend a ton of time with him. But I was thinking the other day as I was doing some work around the house as he was in the batting cage just by himself. And, you know, I went in eventually and threw to him. But for like an hour, he was just tossing the ball up and he just listens to his music and just hits and whatever. And I've thought back when Matthew was born, I was 30. When I tell you we played wiffle ball every day. We played soccer every day. We were in the driveway playing basketball every day. And while I do those things with Joseph, I don't do it as much. And I find I'm tired. So I think there's something to what you're saying about as you get older, man, it is hard.
Yeah.
Let alone having an infant. Right. I couldn't imagine right now.
Right.
No chance. Like the walking dead.
Right.
I already feel like that.
So, yeah, we no doubt are taking years off of our lives of memory
yeah.
years.
Yeah, I think so.
So if when the UFO landed when we were four, we would have no shot.
We might have been on a spaceship. I don't remember.
Did a spaceship ever land at your school, Jerry? Who knows?
Now, Ms. Giuliani, she should be fired because she wasn't out there with us.
She was not out there.
Hey, the smart kids.
Chase this space aliens
I don't believe
away.
That either. They put the smart kids out there to oversee? Come
yeah.
on.
Well, it was Zimbabwe. We're using American
standards. You can't find
on
one
it.
Adult?
Maybe they were a little older. You know what I mean? Like maybe it was like a grammar
That's
school.
Different.
So maybe it was older kids.
That's different. You're telling me the eighth graders were overseeing
yeah,
the
I think
preschoolers.
So.
That's different.
Yeah, I think so.
As opposed to, you're a dummy. No. You're stupid. No. Oh, yeah. You got an A.
You're good at math.
You watch these two idiots.
Watch these kids. Then I was thinking this. You know, I was having some, troubles with the dog as far as anxiety issues and all that stuff. But it made me think about me. When I have a problem with anything, my initial reaction, now I don't follow through on this, but my initial reaction is to quit something.
To quit?
Yeah. So like to end it. So my initial reaction is.
Gene's gone.
Not Gina's gone, but like if I'm having the dog has that, maybe I shouldn't have this dog. Maybe I should.
What are you going to do now?
Maybe I should give the dog up. Like my always, no matter what it is, like if I go to be like, you know what, I'm going to lift these weights. I can't do it. My initial reaction is quit. I rethink it then and don't quit, but I have a quitting mentality.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't follow through on it, but my initial reaction is quit it.
Wow.
Which that's is terrible. Interesting.
It is not good.
That's not a good.
And that surprises me, actually.
That's not something I would have to. I would want to say to somebody in a job interview.
No, no.
What are you,
Mr.
Like,
Dukes, when things get tough, yeah. Like, how would you react around the newsroom?
I probably would want to quit.
Or you're hired.
But I would go home and rethink it and then not quit.
I wouldn't tell people that.
Yeah, but that's not a great initial.
No, it's a bad quality.
Thought, yeah.
I would agree. Quality. But I am surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because you've held this job for how long, and I'm sure there are days that you've probably said enough.
Right, but you're right. They're right. There are other things where I don't quit on. But even little things I just would want to quit on.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times where I have been, like, I'll give you an example from college. And really, it began in high school. There have been times where I've been beat on a test. And you got two options. You can take it or you can cheat. And I'll never forget the one time I went home with a 26.
Out of 100?
Yeah. On a history exam. And I'll never forget, just tell them, I got to just let you guys know, I got a 26. And my mother looked at me like, a what? I said, I forgot to study. I said, and rather than try to fake my way through it, I basically just left a lot of answers. I couldn't answer them. And I remember her saying, you know what? I appreciate you not lying. Great. And from that moment forward, I'm like, that's it. If I don't have the answers, I'm not going to cheat my way through it. It's going to be what it's going to be. And there's something freeing about that, too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of similar, but I guess maybe not, because that's a test and it's not something I could achieve physically. But I don't know. There's something about not... There's something about not giving in to what you're talking about. I guess it really is two different things. Now that I'm actually analyzing, it's really not the same at all.
I'm trying to think of another example. Like if there's a song I hear and I was like, oh, I would like to learn how to play that on the piano. And I start, you know, looking at the notes and start transcribing the notes to something that I can read. And I start playing it. It doesn't sound right. So I know I need to just put more time into it, but sometimes initially I'll be like, you know what, I'm not going to do this song.
And I'm sure you do it. You also just got to perfect the first couple of bars.
Right.
And just take it one, instead of reading through it too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like putting together something or putting something together. If you go look at the manual and look at steps 1 through 944, you're like, oh, no chance. But if you do 1 into 2 into 3.
And even if you set up and go, you know what, I'm going to just do 1 through 5 today.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Even if I do it well, I'm going to have a good day, and tomorrow I'm going to...
No question. Pick it back up.
That's why a lot of times during the day, like, Gina will make fun of me because when she asks what I'm doing for the day, and I'll be like, today I'm going to go food shopping. She's like, oh, are you going to... then when you come home, you're going to work out? I go, no, I'll work out tomorrow. Like, I'll go shopping today. That's what I'm doing. Tomorrow's my workout day. So don't ask me I cannot go food shopping tomorrow.
I got nothing else
today's
planned.
My workout day.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pack my days a little bit more than that.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Yesterday I got home. I finished the floor that I put down. Almost finished it, but I got the rest of the floor down. I got to do the trim now around the walls.
Yeah. That's the hard part, though, right?
It can be. I don't think it will be. I mean, it's really quarter rounds. Really shouldn't be that big a deal. But I got home, I was cutting my ass off with the jigsaw, and I got all that done. I was sweating, got in the car, went and worked out at the gym. On the way home, stopped and grabbed something to eat, then pitched to my son.
It was a lot of stuff.
Then we had a quick dinner. He wanted to go play basketball for a little while, went and played basketball, then took him to his game, his baseball game. It was a busy day.
What'd you stop to get to eat?
I picked up food for the kids.
Oh.
That was it, not for me. But my day started at 2:30 and ended at 10.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much.
Long day. But I'm not going to miss them playing.
Yeah.
That to me is where I'm going to, you know, I try not to, if it's about me, then I'll go to sleep. But if it's for them, I'm going to stay up and unfortunately be exhausted.
This is what rock stars say, and maybe you follow this theology. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I don't, you know, it's funny. I used to say that when I was younger. I don't care for that anymore.
Now you'll sleep when you get some time.
Not at 47. Right. I want to sleep Friday night. You can sleep when you're dead. I want to sleep Friday and Saturday night.
I love a Friday night sleep. That's the greatest sleep.
I know.
The absolute greatest.
The feeling of walking out of here on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, knowing that I can be carefree. I can have coffee all afternoon if I want it. If I want to have a drink Friday night, I can have. Because I during the week, I won't do that.
Same here.
If I want a couple of drinks, I can do that. If I want to sit outside and just shut my eyes, you know, under the star, I can do that too, and then just go to bed peacefully.
Right.
I love Friday. It's so cliche, and I've never been like that. But the last 2 years, my God, I can't wait. I wake up Monday. I'm like, is it Friday yet?
Well, just that it's the sleep thing. Like when you sleep in from Friday, you're not watching the clock to get to bed at a certain time.
Like Sunday at 1 p.m., I start to get depressed. I love Sunday morning. I do. Saturday morning, it's great. Maybe not 1. By 2 o'clock Sunday, I'm like, Christ, I got to get up in 12 and a half hours.
And then during football season when you're watching the games and you hear...
You're right.
On 60 Minutes.
You're right. Or how about when I got to work Sunday night football?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no good, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
It was a fine one this morning. And tomorrow we'll see you on a Thursday. Jerry, you tell me it's going to be like 80 degrees today.
83, supposedly.
Hells yeah.
Enjoy your summer Wednesday, Al.
So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
What do you say? We do this on a Wednesday, 5:03. It is the warm-up show brought to you by Kearney Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearneybank.com for details. His name is the Eddie Scazzeri. I am in the studio with one man, a mythical man for some, if you will. His name is Al Jeff Dukes. What's up, Al?
Good morning, Jerry. Very mythical. Hey, you know... I've been driving now. You and I, when we would carpool, we would drive through Staten Island, Brooklyn, into Manhattan.
That's and now you do it.
In. And now I do it. And thank God you took me on that journey for a year or more so that I now know how to go.
Right.
But for the first time today, are there mountains on Staten Island?
Eddie, no, it's the landfill.
No, there seems to be like a mountain range on Staten Island. I looked to my left at one point. I was like, there are mountains. There is a beautiful apartments built into the mountains.
Yeah, Grimes Hill and Emerson Hill on the Staten Island Expressway.
Yeah.
It goes, Staten Island Expressway goes between the two.
That's a hill.
It's a beautiful mountain range.
It's not a mountain range.
Purple Mountains.
You're not
majesty.
In Wyoming.
Yeah. Wow, it was cool. I was like, wow, look at Staten Island.
The first time you've noticed that.
Yeah. And it was just a beautiful either apartments or condos, right, built right into the mountain.
Now, that's around the area of Fordham, right? Or at least the exit for Fordham?
Fordham?
Not Fordham.
St.
Wagner.
John's?
Yes,
Wagner.
Exactly. Wagner is up on either, I forget which is which, Grimes Hill or Emerson Hill.
Yeah.
There's also Toad Hill.
Wow. Yeah, who knew? I never knew Staten Island was a hilly place.
Well, there you go.
I had no idea. I live in the mountains of Staten Island. That's what I would tell people.
They're not mountains.
I live in the beautiful... You may live by the ocean. I live in the mountains of Staten
You're
Island.
You're such an idiot.
The Staten Island Mountains. They should have named it Staten Island Mountains.
Okay.
I bet they pay a premium to be in that complex.
Why don't we put a new Mount Rushmore up in Staten Island?
Ooh. A Staten Island Mount Rushmore in Staten Island.
Toad Hill is very bougie. A lot of expensive homes.
Is that
there.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Although if you live in the mountains of Staten Island, you are looking right out onto the highway, which sucks. No one wants to live by the highway.
What about the back end?
I have no idea what goes on that side.
Just saying. I mean, you're talking about what's happening from what you can see. What about on the other side?
Yeah, I don't know. The other fun thing about going that way is, you know, the Verrazano Bridge has an upper level and lower level. And, you know, during overnight construction, a lot of times one of them is closed and only one of them is open, which is fine. They all go to the same place, turns out. But it is alarming when you first look up at the highway sign that just says, when you get the second part first, it says all lanes closed.
Well, you know that's only one.
I know that because I go there every day. But if I'm driving and I'm a new driver there and I look up and it says all lanes closed in the direction I'm heading, I'd be in a panic.
You might be waiting a while.
I would be in full panic mode. Jerry, it looks like the 86 Mets
what are
World
we doing?
Series. Well, first of all,
we've done this already 16 times.
What do you mean? The ESPN's going to do a four-part docuseries. I'm interested.
In what way?
Mets.
All right, let me ask you this.
All right.
We know about the games.
Correct.
We know about Mike Scott and the Astros.
That punk.
We know about Wally Backman and Mookie Wilson. We know about Hot Foot in the dugout.
What does that mean? Where they were lighting their feet on fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
We know that guys were having sex with females under the stadium during games.
We are familiar with that.
We know about the amazing card games they had.
Okay.
We know about the turmoil and how some of the guys didn't get along, some did. We know about Ray Knight punching Eric Davis in the face. Like, what else is there?
I feel like we're missing some stuff.
Like
Jerry.
What? You tell
I don't
me.
Know. But I saw the tweet that ESPN had put out that this 30 for 30 four-part series.
Four parts?
Four parts, Jerry.
Oh, my God.
4 hours. Once Upon a Time in Queens.
I better learn something.
They put up a picture that looked like the Brady Bunch screen where it's like there was like nine different Mets players, either 9 or 12. And it really hit me yesterday because they look old. And when I think back on my childhood of sports.
It's 35 years ago.
It's the 86 Mets. So to see them all facially looking old.
Have you looked in the mirror?
Hurts. I have.
I mean, we're not young anymore. This was 35 years ago.
Yeah, it's
think
sad.
About in 1986. If I were to tell you, Al, what happened 35 years ago?
I'd be like, I don't know.
That was 1951.
I'd have been like, I don't know. Electricity was invented? I don't know. Jerry.
But I'm just saying, it's like we feel like it's yesterday, and it is. It's long ago now.
But I feel like we haven't seen this in documentary form. We've seen it in individual interviews.
So many books written.
Yeah, but no one reads books, Jerry.
I have. I mean,
you've read a book?
About the 86 Mets? Yeah, sure. Hmm. But you've got the video that was released celebrating the 86 Mets. I'm sure you've seen that with Wild Boys from Duran Duran in it.
No, I never saw that.
You never? Just when you stopped watching baseball?
This documentary is for me,
seen
Jerry.
That?
I don't recall that.
Wow. It's a great video on the 86 Mets.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've seen this over and backwards 16 times.
But maybe, like, I feel like we've gotten stories, but didn't get them confirmed. It's only, who was the writer who did the book on the Mets?
Bob Clappish?
No, the.
No?
The writer who did the.
Harper?
He's a writer who wrote controversial stuff about the Mets, the 86 Mets, the Bad Boys of something. He also did a book on the Lakers. His name is escaping me. Hold on.
Okay. Take your time.
Book on
I thought it was
Mets.
Classic, Jerry.
Book
I
on
thought your
80s.
First guess.
Well, that's the one I read.
No, that one. He's not going to write anything good. Jeff Perlman. Jeff Perlman writes controversial things. You know, like he wrote about Kevin Mitchell cutting the head off a cat, like things like that. I want people to address these things.
They have been addressed, though.
On camera.
But they've been addressed in interviews over the years, over and over. I mean, you've had Daryl Strawberry on with Boomer and Carton. You've talked to Doc Gooden, who answered the question about trading sex for drugs.
Which he did not.
Which he did not. But I'm saying, like, I don't know. To me, I feel like they're running out of topics. So we're starting to recycle. Coming up next after this, we're going to go over Henry Aaron's chase of Babe Ruth because we haven't heard that story.
Yeah, just, you know, like I love the JonBenet Ramsey murder case.
You do, huh?
So I will watch. There's been so many documentaries, and I'm in for all of them. Same with 86 Mets. I'm interested in them all. I want to see everything.
I bet you the Mets still win the World Series at the end of it.
I hope so.
Will I give it a gander? Yes.
You might give it a gander.
Do I think I'm honestly going to learn anything? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's going to be everything. It's going to start with, you know, how things began in spring training as they couldn't stand each other and they were arguing and you got the fight with the team picture. You know.
What if I told you?
What?
That was how it will start. And then you go into your things. It goes like, what if I told you? That's the 30 for 30.
Yeah, I mean.
Then you do that part.
Could be wrong. Maybe we're going to find out how Gary Carter was isolated from the team because he was a church-going man, and the guys thought he was no fun, and he was an old man. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we know all this stuff.
No wonder he was my favorite player. Old man, isolated.
Yeah, didn't like to do things.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, all right, I mean, listen, I'll give it a try, but this is not like put it on the calendar.
Yeah, this probably could be a two-hour documentary.
Probably.
4 hours is probably a little much.
I mean, if you look at that team, like, where else are you going?
And you can't, like, who are you sitting down with? Lenny Dykstra's insane, so we can't.
He'll be in it for sure.
Oh, he's in it. I already saw his photo.
Of course he is.
You know, Wally Backman's fun, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They had Keith Hernandez, who is a broadcaster.
But, all right, that's another good point, though. Keith Hernandez has told so many stories about that year on the telecast we watch every night.
True.
What is he going to tell us that he's held in for 35 years?
I've never said anything about this for 35 years. I'm saving it for the document. They're going to need some sort of big thing.
I agree. I just don't know that it's there.
I hope it's there. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but I'm in.
How about a 30 for 30 in about 20 years if the Mets wasted their money on Francisco Lindor? I'm just kidding.
What if I told you?
Joking. I'm joking. Though he did get booed a lot last night.
That's what I heard. I heard he was booed.
Yeah. Well, when you don't do anything and you're getting paid a fortune, that's what happens.
Boo.
He's playing well defensively. But, you know, it's funny because I heard Luis Rojas say, you know, don't worry. He's going to get hot and go on a, you know, he's going to go on a streak. That's fine. You know what I want? Consistency. Give me some form of consistency. I really don't want a guy that's going to have a 20-game tear where he bats 600 and then disappears for 25 games.
You don't want streaks.
No. Baseball is a game of streak, and I know that. But there's got to be some level of consistency. Get a big hit once in a while. Do something. I mean, he's batting 200. Now, it's only, what, 18 games for them? All right, fine, fair enough. It's only 18 games. But at some point, can we at least see the guy that resembles the guy that the Mets just gave a third of $1 billion to? Like, something. Yeah, I mean, he comes up with guys on base. He rolls the ball over to the pitcher. He rolls the ball over to second base. It's like, come on. Where's the hard contact?
Where's the solid contact? I need a ball in the gap.
Right.
That seems like an awesome
shot. Start a rally with a leadoff triple, something. He's given you nothing so far.
Hitting a ball in the gap must feel awesome.
You want to hit a ball in the gap or you want to hit a home run?
I think a ball in the gap is kind of cool.
Because you want to sprint around the bases.
Yeah. And then especially if you know you're not going to go for a triple while you're halfway to second.
You just
got to
pull up into second base.
Yeah, casually. Like,
man.
I didn't even really have to run to get here when I'm on second base.
Well, sadly, a lot of those doubles are that way because they just kind of assume off the bat it's a double.
Yeah. No one.
They're not looking for three.
Right.
They're not Franmil Reyes from the other night.
Who's this now, Jerry? Nationals fella?
Yes, Al, Nationals fella. No, he's on the Indians.
His first
career triple, I think it was his first.
I got my teams confused.
You got a lot confused.
The Yankees, the thingies. the Yankees finally beat the Orioles, Jerry. That was exciting.
They finally beat them?
Uh-huh.
They lost once.
They lost once, but they won once yesterday. This Higashioka, I guess, is now the starting catcher, unless he stinks. That's what I read.
I think he's going to play more times than not now. I mean, that's what you're telling you, because Gary Sanchez has not been good. And this guy produces, hit another home run last night. And he's done the job behind the plate. So you know what? Good for him.
And
he deserves it.
He's the home run stroker.
And he was last night. That's right.
I'm telling you, every time I hear his name in my head, I do. The home run stroker.
Well, maybe you're going to get more home runs for him. Here's what we're going to find out. Either A, you're going to hear home run stroker a lot more, or B, it's going to reveal that he's really just a spot player. And is not. You ever see guys like that? Like, they're really good in spots, and they'll produce, and you're like, boy, why does this guy not play every day? Then they get the chance to play every day, and it's like, oh, that's why.
It's like in the NFL when a backup quarterback plays, like Nick Foles, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh.
Comes in, does the job.
Yeah.
Why is this guy not starting?
Then starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to that, actually.
So they're going to let Higashioka play until he starts to stink. Then they'll put Gary Sanchez back in, I think.
Well, that's I don't know if that's exactly the game plan, but he's going to start more than he doesn't now, as opposed to knowing he's going to start once every five games when Garrett Cole starts. So he started last night, and I'm sure he'll be back in there tonight. He should. He homered last night, did the job. Let's go.
He was the home run stroker.
Yes, he was. And, you know, I was listening to Sal too drive it in. Boy, he hates Giancarlo Stanton.
Is that
like
right?
He was like, oh, Stanton had another meaningless home run in the seventh inning. He's not wrong either.
Yes.
But it is funny.
It was a meaningless home run.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then we also heard that Aaron Judge left the game in the ninth with a lower body soreness. He always
it's
has
unbelievable.
These very vague soreness injuries.
It is incredible.
You think that's his butt? Lower
it, yeah, could be.
Body? His butt could hurt.
He could have glute soreness, maybe hamstring soreness.
He could be butt hurt.
He could be. Very possible. Ever happened to you? Happened to me over the weekend.
Being butt hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have had my butt hurt. But I got a new seat for driving in for my car, like a gel. It's really helped.
I'm sure it has.
But I was butt hurt all the time.
Now was that part of was that like your gift for signing up for AARP?
No.
Sign up for AARP and get free butt gel.
Free butt gel for your seat, your car seat. But it really helped because I was having bad back pain driving.
That's because you had anxiety.
Well, now I have neck pain driving from anxiety. So you got to see me driving into work now, Jerry. I have a thick gel under my butt. Then I put a lacrosse ball behind my shoulder blade.
Why don't you put Tiger Balm on your neck and you can smell like an old man?
That's next. I'm going to put Tiger Balm on my neck.
Which I love, by the way.
Tiger Balm?
Tiger Balm at the end of the day, especially if you worked out or you did something strenuous, there is nothing better than you take a shower like late afternoon, you rub up with some Tiger Balm. Now, you smell like an old man, but God, it feels good.
Why don't they have a nice, like, vanilla scent?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's what the ingredients that give you the heat that get deep into the...
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is that, a roll-on or you use a cream?
No, the Tiger Balm?
Yeah.
No, it's not a roll-on.
It's not.
I don't know if they make a roll-on, do they?
They make a roll-on for a lot of that stuff. Like, Icy Hot has a roll-on.
Hmm. I don't know. No, the Tiger Balm is, for me, it's that it's the little bottle. Yeah, and it's like the...
Cream.
It's a cross between cream and lube. I don't know what it is.
It's like a gel.
It's like actually.
A gel. It's like yeah. Is it like a chapsticky material?
It's that like cool. It's like petroleum jelly that hardens. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like a hardened petroleum jelly.
Okay.
Like a hardened Vaseline.
So when you put
you've
that
never
on.
Never use this?
Not Tiger Balm.
Okay.
When you put this
Bengay
on.
Bengay for you?
I have used Bengay.
Right after you drink your Metamucil?
I Metamucil up. I Bengay it up.
And then you sit on your butt gel.
And then I sit on my butt gel, and it's all is good in the world.
Oh, my God.
How do you, if you put on Tiger Balm with your bare hand, how does that not make your hand hot?
Well, usually you wash your hands very quickly. Yes. I'm sure it would if you left it there, but why would you leave it there?
I don't know.
You shouldn't.
And then, you got to be careful not to touch your area when you're going to the
bathroom. Which I've done.
You have?
Yes.
And you've got Tiger Balm on your area?
Yes, it burns. Mm. Absolutely.
That's wash your hands.
That's why you got to wash your hands immediately.
Wash your hands.
All right. We'll wash ourselves of this segment when we come back. More. There's going to be a documentary on the 96
Yankees.
Coming up. So we'll discuss that.
Wash and your then we've filthy
got,
hands.
Oh, I got you, Al. Jeez. So a lot more to do on the warm-up show.
All right, Jerry, as you may remember, I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary in my new condo, and I couldn't be happier with my purchase. If anyone is looking to buy or a first-time home buyer, check out financing through Kearny Bank. I had the best experience with my mortgage loan officer. His name happened to be Dave. They were very personable, efficient, made the entire process really easy. Visit KearnyBank.com for more information and to see the benefits of their first-time homebuyer program. You will not regret it. That's KearnyBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, quick break. On the other side, we'll get to something, probably more baseball because there's a lot going on. Plus, the Nets won last night, 20 after 5. Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Al and Jerry. Radio Gaga. Radio Goo Goo. Radio Doo Doo.
All right, 5:26, Wednesday morning. They call it the hump day of the week. You're that much closer to a Friday. We love Fridays. You're going to have a summer Wednesday, Al. Down the shore. Get those. It's going to be 83 degrees today.
Today?
Have you not? For real?
No,
yeah.
I haven't checked the weather.
Get those binoculars ready because the girls are going to be out in bikinis today.
Well, I go whale watching with the binoculars, Jerry. I don't look at women in binoculars. That'd be total creep fest.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I'm looking for dolphins,
you
boaters.
You say what you want to say.
Surfers, this sort of thing, Jerry.
Right.
I know you're not a huge fan of the 86 Mets documentary. I found something on my show sheet that I'm guessing you'll be even less of a fan of.
Great, so let's discuss it.
The Pioneer League in baseball, Jerry. I don't know if you're familiar with the Pioneer League.
Give me one team.
The Lincoln Logs.
Now, I could be wrong.
They won the championship last year.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is no such team. All right, what state do they play in?
Nebraska.
I was making sure.
All right.
All right, the
Lincoln,
Pioneer
Nebraska.
League. Let's see. I'm going to get the standings.
Give me the Pioneer League. I bet you they have some fun. Minor league baseball always has fun team names. You know, they do different things, like the Shrimps.
All right, you ready? I'll give you the regular season standings from a couple of years ago. This is where I'm getting the teams from.
All right, Jerry.
You've got the Great Falls Voyagers. I don't know what this is. The Idaho Falls Chukars?
I don't know what that is.
Me neither. The Billings Mustangs, that's the team I'll go see. The Missoula Osprey. The Grand Junction Rockies. Not great names.
No, these are boring.
Could you imagine what type of giveaway night you could have for this team? The Rocky Mountain Vibes.
Oh, the Vibes. Smoking weed.
That's not where I was going.
Oh.
I was thinking Eddie hits the thing. Right. The Orem Owls. Spelled O-W-L-Z. I kind of think that's cool.
All right.
And I can't.
Owls with a Z.
Because I can't. My eyes are so bad. I can't see this team. The Ogden or Ogden, I don't know. Raptors. Not great names.
No, these are not great names.
And the let's see, who won? The Chukras look like they won
two years
ago. Yeah. I think.
I don't know what that
is. I'm not
sure.
I don't either. Eddie, what's a Chukar?
Oh, he's gone.
Where'd he go?
He went to go get a coffee or go to the bathroom or do something with the log.
I'm going
to
find out. Anyway, so there's no Lincoln Logs, but I got
you. No Lincoln Logs. That'd be a great name, though. So in this Pioneer League of baseball, they're replacing extra innings.
A Chukar is a bird, by the way.
Okay, a bird. They're replacing extra innings not with starting a runner on second base like Major League Baseball does. When your teams are tied at the end of nine innings, there will be a home run derby to determine the winner.
See, here's the problem with this.
Yeah.
And I don't like the runner at second base. I don't. I would honestly just prefer them just play out the game. And if a game goes 18 innings, it goes 18 innings. Very rare that stuff happens. But whatever. The problem with this is some people will say, well, if they can do it in hockey with the shootout, why can't you do it in baseball? It's a very simple reason why. In hockey, you're just playing for the extra point, and you've already locked up a point by getting to overtime.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Sure. So it's much different. In baseball, you're playing for a win and a loss.
Right.
So I don't love it, but it's also the Pioneer League, and what the hell. If that is going to make more people come out to the ballpark, go for it.
Right, because then I think people would be rooting for extra innings because you
want to
see a
home
run derby.
Yeah, I think that's true. I just wouldn't want to see it in Major League Baseball. But if you did this in all minor league parks, I think that's awesome. That's
right.
Fun.
So you're not against it.
I'm not, no, not an independent league in minor league baseball. Absolutely not. I think it's fun because if you think about it, and I'm not saying cities like Billings where they have nothing else, but if you go see a Lakewood Blue Claws game Are you really getting like emotionally attached to the Blue Claws?
I am not.
You go there for a nice afternoon, nice relaxing night. Maybe they got fireworks after the game,
ballpark,
which allows
food.
You to leave and not have any traffic because people stay for the fireworks.
I always go on fireworks night.
But it's just a fun night out. So if you ended a minor league game or an independent league game with a home run derby, hell yeah, go for it.
But you don't
hate it.
You don't want to see Mets Phillies.
No, I don't.
Tied at three.
Can't
after nine go into a home run derby.
No.
And the way they're doing this too is if there's a you pick one player for your home run derby, and if the home run derby ends in a tie, then it goes to a second player home run
derby. So they're going to make sure they get a decision that
day,
win or lose.
Yes, they're getting a decision.
Yeah, I think for those lesser leagues, it's fine.
All right.
Just don't bring it to MLB.
The Yankees have traded Mike Tauchman.
The Sockman is gone.
The Sockman. He went to San Francisco for reliever Wandy Peralta. Wandy is W-A-N-D-Y is his name.
Yeah.
Wandy.
Right.
Is that a name you've heard of?
I haven't. His name.
You know him.
Isn't there a Wandy Rodriguez, too, I feel like?
Wandy. Do you think Wandy is short for something?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like Wanderous?
Wandy Rodriguez. I feel like he was in MLB as well.
Wandy.
Oh, yeah.
Wandy Peralta. Let me see if Wandy is short for something, Jerry.
Go for it. You tell me.
Nope.
Well, like, what would it be short for?
Wow. His name is Wandy Luis Peralta Dominguez.
Okay.
That's a name, Jerry. I'd like to see that on the back of the jersey, the whole name.
The whole. Well, I don't know about that. The biggest name I've ever seen is Jared Saltalamacchia, but that was enough.
That's a good one. Now, his Wikipedia page already has him on the Yankees. Who?
I don't know who changes these
who
things.
Who updated this already?
I don't
know. The guy was just traded. It says Wandy Luis Peralta Dominguez is a Dominican professional baseball pitcher for the New York Yankees.
I'll tell you this.
My
when
gosh.
A rumor or someone posts online that someone has passed away.
Yeah.
The one thing you don't want to do in broadcast radio or TV is, you know, report that someone's died and they haven't. I mean, it's really...
That's a terrible one.
Well, what do you think?
You're alive reading that you're dead.
Or listening to it, right.
Or hearing it, yeah.
But if you ever go to Wikipedia, like, moments after you see that, it's already updated.
I don't know who's...
I don't know. I do not know.
Who are these people?
I guess you've got millions of people in this country, and I don't know. Someone takes the initiative to do it.
Yeah.
The last thing on my mind, but someone does.
And I don't even have a Wikipedia page. So when I pass away, there's nothing. No one's even going to write anything.
Well,
wouldn't that be weird if you heard that if you were driving in?
Yes.
And Sal Licata was on the air and he said, very sad to report we've lost Jerry Recco. And you were driving in, would you think that you did in fact pass away and that you were in an alternate universe, or did you think Sal got it incorrect?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I think I would think that Sal got it wrong.
I'd be so confused. If I was like on the Verrazano
Let me ask
Bridge,
you this. Am I looking down at cars as I'm driving?
What if you were hovering over the Verrazano Bridge when you heard this news?
Then I might think that he got it right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it would be a little strange for sure.
Mm.
Let's just hope that doesn't happen. Either he reports it or it doesn't happen. Not yet.
Right. You don't want
like
it to.
I got a long way to go.
You don't want it to be falsely reported.
Or reported at all.
Or accurately reported.
Right.
You don't want to hear either of those
things. Not yet. No. No, no, no. Life goes fast enough. Let me enjoy this.
Jerry, the state of Massachusetts is going to open stadiums at full capacity starting August 1st.
Okay. Now, are there rules going to be attached to this, or do you know?
No licking people. That was their only rule, they said.
So you didn't look the rest of the article? You are too funny.
So, I did not read the article, Jerry.
Because when you look at the NFL season this year,
yeah,
I get the sense, especially in the direction we're going, New York just made it 33% for outdoor stadiums, and we're only in April. I would think as more and more people do get vaccinated, and if in fact the numbers continue to plummet, which it seems like they have been, you know, if the Giants and Jets don't have 100% capacity, I think got to be looking at like 60 or 70%. So that makes sense to me in Boston. I mean, Florida didn't they just do a UFC event over the weekend, full capacity indoors?
Full capacity.
Now, if nothing comes of that and there's no spike from that event, Be pretty telling, though.
Yes, I would think so.
So, and that's in, you know, you're talking about Patriot games outside. We'll see.
Right.
I can only hope that when we get to September, that that is indeed the case, that we're looking at full stadiums in the NFL again and in baseball as we get set for, like, the stretch run for the playoffs.
Oh, yes, Jerry, for playoff baseball.
I got to tell you, there have been, you know, you looked at Baltimore last night. They've stunk for so long. When they showed you the stadium last night, you felt like you were watching an Orioles game. It didn't seem unusual, especially when they flash back to last year and you watch the highlights of the empty stadium. Just having 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people mulling around, even spread out, it doesn't look unusual.
It looks like
midweek baseball is.
It looks like something.
It does look like something, and it's got the feel of a real game again. So we keep increasing, and away we go. 5:36. We are more than halfway home to the great Boomer and Geo. They come your way at the top right here on The Fan.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Alan Jerry, let's talk more rock.
More rock with the invisible touch. How about that? It's a Wednesday. Nice to have you with us. Warm-up show till 6. You got big program Boomer and Geo coming up at 6 a.m. They take you 6 to 10. You're rocking out.
I'm picking all songs. This is off of a 1986 playlist based on the Mets 86 docuseries that I'm looking forward to.
But you didn't do Wild Boys.
And who sings this? I don't know Wild
Boys. Duran Duran. Yes, you do. 100%
you do.
I'll
come back with Duran Duran,
Wild
Boys. You
absolutely know. You're actually going to sit there and say, this song? I know this song. How do you not know this song?
I'm going to play it right now, Jerry. Hold on. Please hold.
I'm almost certain it was Duran Duran.
By the way, later on today at 4 p.m.,
yeah.
I don't know why I'm very intrigued by this appointment listening.
Lenny Dykstra.
No, Evan's eating a hot gummy bear.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this too.
Because he's so cocky that he's going to be able to eat this hot gummy bear, which is like the strength of like very powerful hot peppers.
Now, why is this allowed?
I don't know.
What if he burns his mouth?
Or his internal organs.
Or starts vomiting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard Craig the other day say, just have some ice cream before you eat it, and then drink milk.
Yeah,
drink that milk. That sounds like fun. Like, who decides to even produce these things?
Right, I don't know. It's a red hot gummy bear, and it's supposed to be, like, super hot. They actually had a good idea, but no one on the show would go for it.
Which was
to get let's say there's however many people on the show. Boomer. Craig, Evan.
McGonagall.
And Lou Tommy.
Yeah.
So four of them. To put three regular gummy bears and one spicy gummy bear
roulette.
In a bowl. A little gummy bear roulette.
Each one gets one.
They all cowered out. Which
really?
I would have done as well. I would have cowered out as well. But well, that would have been fun.
If there was something attached to
it. Yeah, there was nothing attached.
Like if you get stuck with the hot gummy bear, we each give you $100.
Right.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. But I'm tuning into that 4:00.
That sounds fun. Well, my son's got a baseball game, so I probably won't be.
Because I want to see if Evan can continue to do the show. Having swallowed the hot gummy bear.
Maybe that's Craig's plan.
And you're right, Wild Boys, Jerry, this is it. This was the Mets. This was the Mets song in 86?
Well, this was from the video, the season recap video. Do you remember this or no?
No.
Really?
My mother must not have bought me this recap video.
And there was an Emerson, Lake & Palmer song.
Yes. Right.
And a few others. That
and
I'm
the Emerson, I always thought it was
welcome
back, Electric
my
Light
friends,
Orchestra.
To the show that never ends.
Right, and that was the one that started with the whole Backman and Dykstra combination.
Wild Boys, yes.
Yes, and then the other one was just like all great plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good video, it really is. I'm really surprised
that
you've never seen it.
I blame my mother for not getting me a copy.
I might
of
still
that
have
DVD.
It.
VHS.
You have a VHS tape? You have a VHS player?
I do
in
have
that
a VHS. I do.
Do you really?
That was converting some things.
If I can find it.
All right.
Will you watch it,
yes.
Or am I waste my time?
Wild Boys.
You know where it is, obviously. YouTube. It'll be on YouTube.
All right. It's probably on YouTube. I just
Yeah, but there's
YouTube
something
it.
About putting the VHS
yeah.
tape.
Yeah, the truth.
Fast forwarding and rewinding.
Yeah, I remember how it starts. Mirrors, magic wands. All that matters is that we won the ball game. A Mookie talking about game six.
And then they flash back to the ground ball, yep. Gets by Buckner, rounding third night. Mets win the ball game. They win.
And then they go to spring training and Bob Ojeda, right. And Frank Cash.
And then you get the fight for the picture.
Tim Tuffle, yeah.
Do you see the fight?
No, I don't know.
You see a little bit of a scuffle. Yeah,
really?
You do. You get that little bit of a scuffle as they're getting together for the team photo in Florida.
When we have the 86 Mets, right, for as Mets fans, we go 86 Mets. What is the one team you would say for the Yankees? Is there one year that stands out more than others?
The Red Sox.
What do you mean?
What?
I said, which Yankee team?
Which year of Yankees?
Which year of Yankee greatness?
Oh, I see. 98.
98.
I mean, I think a Yankee fan might say 96 because it was a special year. I don't think they were really expected to win the World Series. Make the playoffs, yes, but not win the World Series. And, you know, it was kind of the first in a while. But 98, right? 98 was the year they won?
116.
They wound up winning 114 games. Was it 114 or 116?
I think it was
with the playoff wins. And they couldn't lose. I mean, they were, I think if I remember correctly, in 98, I don't think they lost back-to-back games or they never had a three-game losing streak. One of those type of deals.
I don't think they lost in the postseason either.
I'm going to do that.
Maybe one game.
Yeah. This sounds like a fun Twitter poll. I'm going to say Mets fans have the 86 Mets. Well,
but, you know, but this 69 Mets were also very special to a lot of people also.
Sadly, most of those people have passed.
And speaking of that, you know, you have the 27 Yankees.
No one was around for the 27 Yankees. And no one on Twitter is from the 69 Mets either.
Somebody from, you know, the DiMaggio team, the Mantle teams.
If you were a fan of the 69 Mets, you probably are not alive because I was born in 69 and I'm 51.
Well, how about people
52.
Who are still alive with the 77 Yankees when they came back and Reggie, and that was like the return to greatness.
All right, then give me this. Give me three Yankee teams then that I could put on this list. You're saying
I would say 77.
77, 96, 98. And 98.
You know, in 96, that's a great point because it's much like 77 when they came back. And or the culmination of the dynasty, then the 2000 maybe because they beat
confusing.
The Mets in the
this
Subway
the problem
series.
With the Yankees. They had too many good teams.
You know, they've won 27 World Series.
Right, the Mets we just go 86, 69.
If you want to do four, do 77, 96, 98.
Let's do six
in 2000.
And by just to correct myself, so the Yankees did have a four-game losing streak in 98.
Losers.
But they had so many long winning streaks, they went 114-48. And they won 125 games when you factor in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
I mean, that was a dominant. You think about that. They only lost 48 games the entire season.
Would they have beat the 86 Mets?
The 98 Yankees? Yeah, they might have.
Yeah,
probably not.
That's one of the best teams I've ever seen. And the 2000 Yankees... Some would say, well, they beat the Mets Subway Series. The problem was, I don't know that Yankee fans enjoyed that. I really don't. Now, I mean, they wound up winning the series, but like going into it, it was a no-win situation. You were expected to win, and if you lost, oh boy. But I would say 98.
All right. If this was old school talk radio, we would just take phone calls, 96, 98.
877-337-6666. And how about this, too?
And then tomorrow, Al, on the warm-up show, mock draft.
The Yankees started in 98, a year they went 114-48. They started the season 1-4.
How about that?
How about that?
It's
pretty wild, actually.
Yeah, that's wild stuff.
They started 1-4, and then they were 26-7.
So they picked it back up.
They went 25-3 in their next 28 games.
They got it together after that.
25-3?
All right.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, Jerry.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
What do you make of the Thunder beating the Celtics last night in Boston?
Surprising.
Very surprised. I was very shocked, Jerry.
Oklahoma City had lost 13 straight games, and the Celtics are trying to make the playoffs.
Listen, on any given...
Not Sunday. Apparently Tuesday.
On any given Tuesday, anything can happen.
The best part of that was... I wish that was on camera. Al's reaction... I couldn't tell if he was scared, stunned, or what.
I felt like Tommy Lasorda when you said...
What'd you think of Kingman's performance?
The Thunder beating the Celtics? What do you mean? What do you think I think of the Thunder beating the Celtics?
I don't think you think anything.
Nope. Jerry, I have two dog-related stories.
Quickly.
Oh, I have to move quickly.
Well, it's 5:51. What do you think?
When do we break?
At 5:51 usually.
Then I'll save it. Let's go early.
Okay.
I'll save a little space for two dog-related stories in sports on the other side.
Two sports dog-related stories.
That's right. right.
I'm looking forward to
All
it.
All right. Who is sick of paying rent? Why would you rent? I bought my condo a year ago, and it feels great to build equity in my own home. If you're looking to buy or are a first-time home buyer, finance through Kearny Bank. They changed my entire outlook on the mortgage process. Also, their first-time home buyer program offers savings like a 30-year discounted rate and down payments as low as 5%. Don't hesitate. Visit kearnybank.com. That's kearnybank.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, a couple of dog-related sports stories coming up next right now on Odyssey Sports Minute. It's Amy Lawrence on Michael Vasacki's reaction to qualifying for a PGA Tour. He was crying. You'll trust
Michael
me. It's
Vasacki.
Actually Vasacki. Vasacki? Vasacki. How do you say it?
Coxsackie.
That too. That's coming up now.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, a couple more minutes till we get you to the top. Win for the Yankees last night, a loss for the Mets, and the Nets won in Tampa over Toronto, Al.
The warm-up show brought to you by Kearny Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearnybank.com for details. Two dog stories for you, Jerry. One, Danica Patrick, she was out with two of her dogs, and they were attacked by coyotes.
Now, where was this? Where does she live? Like, where did this happen?
I think Upper West Side.
Oh, Jesus. No,
I didn't check. I did not check. Somewhere where coyotes are roaming around. You got to be careful if you have dogs and you live in coyote land.
But what size dogs, though? Do you know?
I think they were smaller dogs.
Okay.
Which coyotes? Coyotes are punks. They'll never go after a pit bull or a German shepherd. They like go after little dogs. Come at me. I'm a man. I'm a pit bull. I would take a pit bull over a coyote. You, Jerry? What do you think?
I don't like either of them, to be quite honest.
Coyote versus pit bull?
How many coyotes?
It says there seems to be a couple coyotes, but she got some scratches from it. Like, she was defending her dog.
Good for her. You know what's amazing?
Good for you.
Even reading, so you got a pass on this one. Even reading the story, it doesn't say where.
Right, and it doesn't say which of her dogs, so she has a couple dogs, doesn't say which of her dogs was attacked.
Or if Aaron Rodgers sent the coyotes.
Ooh, oh, come
that
on.
That would be nasty.
Now, why would he do that? He's doing just fine.
Oh, he's doing terrific. He's engaged.
Yes, he is engaged. This is what we hear.
And then a second dog-related sports story was a greyhound race dog in New Zealand tested positive for meth.
Did you really post on the Bradley Beach Facebook page?
Oh, boy. That is a private page.
Looking for
that is a private
greyhound
page.
Owners to give your dog a friend.
That is a private page,
I don't care
Jerry.
If it's private or not. Someone tweeted it to us.
Well, that was rude.
So that was really you, huh?
I can't confirm that,
like,
Jerry.
You this literally went to social media to find your dog a friend.
Hey, Whimsy needs a friend.
You guys don't understand the separation anxiety she's going through.
Well, maybe you should have thought of that before you got a dog.
And rude to the person who screen grabbed that private message group.
I'll finish your story. We don't have that much time.
Well, just that the greyhound race dog tested positive for meth.
Bring the crystal meth and let's party.
Yeah. And
we're
then,
just one day away from the 2021 NFL Draft.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.